Hey, loves, like you, I desire an abundant life and its lifestyle, and to continue to show up as my best version of self, where we win in life to reclaim, rediscover, redesign an authentic and genuine self. And yes, this is intimacy on a whole new level. Welcome. Join us at claritywithsue.com. Again, that's claritywithsue.com. Welcome aboard the Sue train, Benny.
You're definitely hip with your actions there. Well done.
Well done. I haven't gone dancing in so long. I don't even know what I'm doing.
I don't know. You're doing a little dabbing there. You're like,
dabbing.
I think that's what the kids are doing these days. I can't keep track of all of them either.
I can't either. My children are grown now. I was going to say make my children proud, but I didn't know how to dab when they were kids. Welcome. How are you today, Ben?
I'm good. How was your Mother's Day weekend? How's that?
Let's go there. Right. Yeah.
Sure.
It was good.
It
was really good.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Yeah. No, I spent a lot of time recouping. I actually crashed on my bike, which was a humbling, prideful.
Oh, no.
Yeah. My left whole leg is smushied and I got some bruises, but you know what? It's okay.
I had
a good time.
That stinks. You can't say you had really a good time. I guess, maybe up until that, but.
And I know. It's like one of those things. It was just a silly little oops. And it's not like I was going over a mountain and I hit this rock and a bear jumped. You know, it wasn't this dramatic thing. It was like, I got on it and I fell off.
I mean, you can if you want. It'd be better for storylines, but.
Oh, I know. Let's just make something up, right? Okay, well, welcome, and it's sunny, and the summer, Pacific Northwest to us and those in Canada, in Mexico, in Australia. Welcome aboard. I love hearing from you. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you're tuning in live for the Pacific Northwest, our 60,000-plus listeners all over the Pacific Northwest, and then, of course, like I said, internationally. We've got UK, we've got Mexico, we've got a lot of people in Canada, and Italy even, and Australia. So thank you so much for reaching out to me and joining us today. I do this for us, right? It's redesigning, reclaiming, and rediscovering who we are. And it's that unwavering self-love and that rock star resilience and providing tips and tools, my education, my curriculum, and all these incredible guests that I get to bring on here for you, for me, for us, and learning. So with that, today we are going to do our little nibble. It's an inside job. We are doing our awareness practice. Today, the awareness. You know when I'm teaching and talking, awareness is always number one. So today, awareness in forgiveness. Oof, forgiveness. You know, I say forgiveness and there can be a heaviness in that energy, in that saying that. And I say the heaviness because there's still residual stuff in there that needs to be forgiven, and in there meaning your own self. So checking under the hood, let's have a little delicate, beautiful, loving conversation about forgiveness today. Zig Ziglar said this, you cannot tailor make your situation in life, but you can make your attitudes to fit those situations. I take from that to have a process for before the shiitake hits the fan. You guys hear me talk about this all the time. You have to have a process in place before the shiitake, again, air quotes, hits the fan. You then, before that, you have to have that awareness, aware that you're not aware, aware that you are aware, right? And really leaning into that and going, okay, how am I showing up? So let's talk about that awareness in forgiveness today. What does it feel like to hold on to the resentments and the angers? How is that showing up in your body? Again, we're talking about forgiveness, what that looks like, what that feels like energetically, emotionally, psychologically, and really having an awareness practice of, that's what's going on. Okay, I need to get tapped in and tuned into my body and my life right now. I don't want to be depressed. I don't want to have anxiety. I don't want to have any fears. I don't want to have resentments in my body. It shows up in diseases and depressions, inflammations, you have achy joints. There's all kinds of body mechanics that will give you signs and symbols of things that are going on in your body. So having an awareness practice and having forgiveness, not only for yourself, but the other people. You guys, I'm going to give you some tips and tools. And there's a few things that I do. Of course, you have heard me educate and talk about the CCs in life. First, you have to have the awareness, working on and having the awareness and acknowledgement that there is forgiveness that needs to be had. And that forgiveness is about you. It's not about the other person. Forgiveness is absolutely about your practice of releasing the trauma, releasing the resentment, releasing the anxiety, releasing whatever that is in your body and your emotions and all of that. So have the awareness and acknowledge the hurt that why this was presented to you. Again, my language, when I use this is a situation, this is an experience to learn from. It is a contrast to learn from, meaning this has happened. I'm going to look at it, feel into it, lean into it. I'm not going to ignore it. I'm not going to avoid it. I'm going to lean into it, and I'm going to learn from the situation. And that is having the CCs in life, compassionate curiosity. That's another really big tool for you. Having compassion for yourself and the other party and getting really curious of what you can learn and what you have learned in that situation. Then that acceptance, that radical acceptance of taking your power back, acceptance and responsibility. That is you hear the media and people talking about, take your power back. This is what we're talking about. At least that's what I'm talking about. This is your responsibility. You have permission. You don't have to react that way. You don't have to be depressed. You don't have to be resentful. You don't have to be sad. You got to let that all go. Now, disclaimer here, I know it's easier said than done. I walk my talk. I get it. The thing that I want to communicate to you, it's the refractory period. It's how quickly you can rebounce. It's that rock star resilience. So you have to make that choice that you are going to be bouncing back, that you're going to be resilient. You have to be aware that that cortisol is, your body's addicted to that juice that's releasing because your body likes that resentment juice, that fear juice, that anxiety juice. Your body is addicted to that cortisol release. So having that awareness that that's what's happening when you are in resentment and you're working towards your forgiveness and going, oh, okay, those CCs in life, I'm having compassionate curiosity. Yes, yes, yes. Okay. Now I can understand it. Now I have a foundation of what's really practically going on. And now I can release it because it doesn't serve me. It just does not serve me. Ask yourself, does resentment serve you? Does fear, does it serve you? Does anxiety serve you? No, it doesn't. Certainly not on long term, right? Okay. And also, again, what I talked about is that learning from the situation, the contrast, right? It is simply a contrast. Now, when I say simply, that doesn't diminish the emotions or feelings that you've gone through. Same for me. You have to feel and lean into those feelings so you can get them out of your body and release them. Again, going back to what I said about the refractory period, acknowledge them, take radical responsibility, compassionate curiosity, and let it go. It does not serve you. Forgiveness is about you, not the other person. They're out living their life and doing their thing. You should be too. Big fat permission slip, my lovely ones. All right. It's all about unwavering self-love and rockstar resilience. Clarity with Sue, tapped in and turned on to our life and lifestyle. Thank you so much. All right. Today's guest, I'm super excited. You know, we've had a lot of stuff going on in the last few years. I mean, we kind of always do, but there's been some extra ordinary circumstances and situations, whether it's collectively as a world or people individually. You have heard me talk about traumas. You've heard me talk about small T traumas, big T traumas, and defining that, what that looks like, and having the tools. Again, going back to what I was talking about, having a process in place before the air quotes shiitake hits the fan. And that's one of my guests today. And that's why I bring all these incredible guests on here. So we have these real life, real time practical tools to overcome our situations or to have a practice in place. So with that, I am going to introduce you to Doug. I'm going to read his formal bio and then I'm going to bring him on. So after an extremely troubling past and an incredibly inspirational comeback, the story of Doug Dane, who is my guest today, is now an international keynote speaker teaching others how to get unstuck from past trauma. inspired by his troubled childhood and his steps and the steps he took to overcome the typical trajectory for someone in his shoes. His first novel, Mistaken Identity, which is out on April 4th, in time, of course, for this beautiful child abuse awareness, pairs his personal experience alongside actionable guidance and affirming truths designed to help readers break into a new life free of guilt and shame. Doug is also able to explore a number of related topics like the traumas and overcoming the traumas. And I love that, Doug. I love the self-image formula that you were talking about. So I want to talk about that later on, but I want to get to know, I mean, I can do the formal bio and that's beautiful and juicy. My audience knows we want to get to know you. We want to hear your energy and your frequency. So welcome so much, Doug.
Thank you. I'm excited. And I love that introduction. Gosh, I wish I would have wrote the book with you. We're so on the same page. Oh my gosh.
Right. Oh God. Yeah. Yeah. Forgiveness. And right. Yeah. Okay. Let's hear your story, sweetheart, or your past story, or the old formula, or the stuff, the adjective to describe, right?
Yeah. Well, I can give you kind of the Cole's notes of, I think, in the book, the introduction actually starts with a story, an article that I wrote in a national newspaper here in Canada when I finally went public, and it was called Dark Past, Bright Future. So basically around 1999, my second marriage had failed. I had wrecked it, truthfully. I had wrecked all my relationships, and I went for separation counseling and trying to work my way through that. And the lady that I met was really brilliant. She started asking some, you know, the typical family history questions, and I didn't have a lot of answers. And she suggested something to me that I just thought was out to lunch. And she said, I think there's some abuse in your background. I go, there's no abuse in my background. And I remember my parents were alcoholic. I remembered some stories around that. But anyway, she said, well, your life isn't working. Your way is obviously not working. And maybe if you want to change your future, you should understand your past. So I went looking into my past and literally did an investigation. And I pieced together a story that I had blocked out pretty much my entire life. And so it started as a baby, as an infant. I got handed over to foster care for the first 6 months of my life by my birth mom. And then I got adopted into this violent, alcoholic, abusive family. They were both abusive towards each other, emotionally and physically abusive towards us as children. And that lasted for 13 years of my life. And then I literally threw my mom out of the house one day. I called the police. She was beating up my dad. I picked her up, threw outside, called the police. The police arrived, took her away. And then she was gone. And of course, then I started, you know, as I say, I turned looking for love in all the wrong places and ended up hooked up with a ring of pedophiles. And I was sexually abused for 2 years. And that ended in my kidnapping at 15. And then from there, turning to the next form of coping, which was drugs and alcohol, till about 23 years old, you know, working in factories and lousy jobs. Then I quit that. I got into business. I went bankrupt. Trying to figure that out, and just spent the next 25 years from, I guess, 1990 or so up till 99, just trying to get ahead. I started to do well in business. I was able to earn money, and I looked like I had it all together. On the inside, that's not how I was feeling. A lot of self-loathing and shame, guilt, resentment, a lot of feelings I didn't really understand why I even had them, honestly. I just figured, well, that's my life and I live with it. And then the story came out and then I went public with it. And that was a big game changer. The release that came by telling the truth about my story was like the shame and resentment, all that stuff fell off so quickly. And that was a big turning point. But then I carried on until 2014 or so. And succeeding more, I was doing better. Of course, when you let go of the junk, you do better in life, you feel better, but still carrying around a lot of stuff, that just not liking myself, and still suffering from anxiety and depression, and, you know, just constantly going, what's wrong with me? Because that's how I felt,
right?
In spite of how well I was doing, you know. And that's kind of the backstory that begins in the book.
Amazing. Isn't it interesting I find it interesting because I'm on, like yourself and many others, you know, this whole conversation around trauma, small T trauma, big T traumas, you know, the small T traumas we have every day, right? And, you know, there's also, of course, pack that on with the big T traumas that we have pushed down or we can't remember them for understandable reasons, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The conversation around trauma and the importance of where I'm going with this is the awareness of it, right? Like you were just talking about, you just didn't know what you didn't know, right? But right. You knew that something was ticking or not quite working for you, right? So how does one I use the analogy, the proverbial, I don't need any more bears, universe. I've got that. And if you just give me butterflies, you know, in the awareness practice or the examples or the learning experiences, I'm like, I'm done with the bears. I'm so done. I promise you, I'll listen to the little whispers of the butterflies. Right. So how can we talk to the audience about starting that journey of like forgiveness, like at the top of the hour and understanding and having that awareness that we did have that trauma? It was kind of a loaded question, but
yeah, no. Listen, it's a great question. There's a lot to it. As I was listening to you with your opening, I think so. Awareness is obviously key. We like ignorance. Ignorance meaning just not being aware. It's sometimes safer. You know, obviously, I blocked out a lot of things. Certainly not by choice. It just kind of comes.
That's also a safety mechanism too, right?
No question. Yeah. No question. Yeah. I got a number of viewpoints on that. Number one, you said something about, hey, folks, I don't want to minimize your trauma. I know it's not easy. I felt the same way, too, that it wasn't easy. What I discovered is it is actually easy. It's actually easy. It's quite simple, and it doesn't have to take so long. But I dragged it out. I made it hard, and I thought it was really complicated. And what I discovered was because I was just unaware of how to really approach my own mindset, really understanding how my mindset directs my brain and my nervous system, which ultimately dictates how I feel. I didn't know any of this. I grew up in, you know, corporate environment, business, stuff like that. I did not understand anything about mindset and how my mind actually works, both from a conscious and an unconscious perspective. And so my mentor that really, really hit home where I finally was able to write this book. He just kept saying, Doug, he said, it's so simple. You're making it so complicated. Just let it go. And I go, Bob, it's not that simple. I mean, you don't understand. I mean, you didn't go through what I went through.
Victimhood, you know? Right?
Yeah, totally. And so there is a victim mentality that's perpetuated. I'm not a victim. I was a victim up until I was 15 years old. Okay, I was a victim for sure. I could say I was a victim of drug and alcohol abuse, but I was the one that was making those choices. And so we can continue to carry this victim mentality on and on and on and on. And then also the whole mental health system and the whole paradigm around psychology and mental well-being, the model we're in right now started, you know, post-war, early 50s, and it's continued. We're down the same road, and it's obviously not working. And we just kind of go along in our life, thinking this is what it is. It's an attitude, as you said. I just decided I got fed up being a victim. I got fed up feeling lousy about myself, and I thought the only one that's going to take responsibility is me. Nobody's going to change my mind. Nobody's going to change my beliefs. Nobody's going to do it for me. Only me. And I took way too long living that way. Luckily for me, I finally got fed up with myself. I just got pissed off.
Well, right. Isn't that, I know. And that's the grizzly bears, right? Or the, I've had enough moment, right?
Yeah.
You said something I was going to, you were talking about, I've had enough and I don't know. It'll come back to me. Go ahead. Keep chatting.
Well, no. I think what has to happen, like, I think, indignation, frustration. I mean, these are good tools. What we've got to be aware of is that life is not really hard. We just, everything that we operate from, this notion of my book, Mistaken Identity, we have a bunch of mistaken rules, values, and beliefs and perceptions towards the world that we've simply inherited And there's cultural paradigms, there's family paradigms, there's Mother's Day paradigms that just passed, right? And we just go through life accepting things. And so my mentor said, he said, Doug, if your way's not working, why don't you try a different approach? And I just, when I'm talking, people go, listen, are you happy most of the time? No. Are you struggling a lot of the time? Yes. All right. So would you agree your way is not working? Yes. Well, then why don't we take a look at a different approach? But just our society, we're carrying on. We're so habitual.
That's it right there. It's that struggle. You think that is your norm.
Yes.
You're completely programmed, brainwashed, energetically, emotionally, psychologically, all of that brainwashed in thinking and chemical releases too, because the cortisol and all the stuff that's going on, that you think that that is your norm. And it is not. Again, going back to what we were talking about, it paramount that you have that awareness.
Yeah.
Oh, shiitake. Oh, my jaw's clenched. Oh, my stomach's upset. You know, something. Oh, is that what resentment feels like? Yeah. You have to, because when your body, beautiful body, nervous system has protected you for so long. Thank you, universe, whatever your source is, purple chopsticks, I don't care, whatever. Thank you so much for keeping me safe. It's not working anymore. Right. But it's also providing yourself the awareness that it's time to change and taking that radical love and responsibility. Right.
I think what you got to do, as you said, you got to just pay attention to how you're thinking, how you're feeling, and the state of your physical body. And if you're not feeling natural, you know, it's in our nature to be calm and relaxed and joyful. That's in our nature.
That's the key right there. I think that's the contrast. People don't realize that, right?
Wait.
I'm supposed to be calm, because I still am in the practice of that. I'm like, oh wait, so you don't have, you're okay, babe. It's okay. You don't have, you don't have to rush. You don't have to do any of that. It's okay. It's okay. Right. You know?
And so we're doing things that are unnatural. That's why if you're in conflict, is because you're doing things, you think things and you do things and you believe things that are not natural, meaning that you're operating with a set of rules and values and beliefs that are creating your own conflict. So a big thing, you know, this mistaken identity, here's what it is and here's how you got it. Okay. When you were little, you arrived here, and first thing you started to do is, when your awareness started to develop, you started imitating the adult. So one of the chapters in the book is called "You're an Imitation." You started imitating mom and dad in terms of what you ate, the language you spoke. And then when they got your attention, when they noticed that they had your attention, then they hooked your attention, and then they started drilling in rules, values, beliefs, biases, prejudices, what's good, what's bad, what's right, what's wrong. You were hypnotized. You were just literally, it was drilled into you. You just went along with it. I mean, who are you to question it, right? And then they started judging you. And they judge you, and they were judging everybody too. You watched them. You could see them judging each other. Maybe you saw them judge themselves. They judged friends, family, neighbors. They were very judgmental. And then they were judgmental towards you if you didn't get it right, if you weren't following the rules and, you know, following along these beliefs that were drilled in. And so then they started criticizing you, or they started punishing you, or they started teasing you. And very early on, you basically took the judgment on. And a question that was internalized consciously, unconsciously, is, what's wrong with me? Why don't I fit in? And I tell people now, I said, stop asking what's wrong with you. The question to ask is, what's wrong with what I believe? That's the question.
What I believe. Yes.
Yes.
Did you guys hear that? What is wrong with what I believe? And having that awareness, that's a beautiful question to ask, right? And is this true?
Is this true? That's right. One of the chapters in the book is called, "Is This Really True?" You know, I was doing that my whole life. I go, what the? And people say, like when I was little, Dougie Dane, my mom, what the heck's wrong with you? My teachers, what's wrong with you? And then my people in my life, Doug, what's wrong with you? And of course, you know, I was doing the same thing, because I was making all these mistakes. And the reason I was making all these mistakes, of course, is because I had this distorted view and this mistaken identity. So naturally, you know, now I'm able to see, no wonder I did what I did, because anybody in my situation or from my story would have done things too, like I did, or worse, they'd be worse off than I am. And so I kept going, what's wrong with me? And I never got an answer. Never.
Oh, I hate that question, by the way. Yeah. I hate it. It's sticky. Why would parents say that? It's what's wrong with you? That's awful.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, listen, it's not their fault. I mean,
I know, but still, I'm soapboxing it for the audience. Do not say that.
but the key for people, anybody's listening, I know you've asked yourself the same thing. And so you've never gotten an answer because there's nothing wrong with you. And we got to stop trying to fix ourselves. We have to start being ourselves. The reason you feel like there's something wrong is because you can't be yourself. You maybe don't even know who you really are. You're afraid to be yourself because there's two other dynamics that were going on when you were little, and they're worse than ever in our society. And that's why we're having so many problems. So two big issues when you were little was, one, there was a huge compulsion to conformity. And so you expected to conform. And if you didn't, you know, again, you got teased, criticized, punished, whatever. And that fostered another big problem, which is a deep-seated fear of criticism or what other people are going to think. And so that's why you really don't operate as yourself, because you want to conform. You want to be liked. You want to be loved. You want to be valid. You want to be accepted. And you're also, when you do finally go, you listen here to Sue, you go, that's it. Today's the day. I'm changing my life. But as soon as you go to make the changes, people notice and they go, what's going on with you, Doug? Sue, what are you? Something's changed. And we make these moves and then we have a fear of criticism, what people are going to think. And then we go back to the comfort zone. We don't like it there, but it's safe.
That right there. And we're going to take a quick commercial break with that. Okay. It's so important, Doug, because with that evolution and change, and I know when I started that evolution and change, I'm like, what if they don't like me anymore? Mm-hmm. That's right. What if they leave? What if I, and that's true. It's going to happen. The people and, recovering people pleaser, all of that. There's right. going to be, there's all kinds of dynamics. I'm making up my own words here. Dynamics within that context, right? And that umbrella. All right. We are still, we're still live with Doug. We're going to take a quick commercial break. You want to join us on YouTube? All you got to do is go to YouTube and type in 1150 AM. You'll see us over there chatting for about 3 minutes and then we'll come right back. Hey guys, Sue here with Clarity with Sue. I have got a question for you. Does turnover happen in your company? Is morale really low because of what's happening in our economy and in the world? Are you experiencing small T traumas within your organization that's affecting your bottom line, that's affecting massive turnover? Well, what we do know that low morale causes employees to have a loss of interest. It's like 65% of employees do not feel appreciated. So how about this? How about a solution? In 90 minutes, go from checked out to tapped in. Set your team apart from others and create a culture to be proud of. Help your team find that purpose again. That's what I do. I'm going to help you do that. In 90 minutes, go from checked out to tapped in. Send me an email, sue@claritywithsue.com. That's sue@claritywithsue.com.
Do you make a positive difference in the world? Do you have a talent, philosophy, base of knowledge, product or service that you know could help a lot of people if only you could reach them? Join Alternative Talk 1150's family of broadcasters and start walking down a fruitful path. As host of your very own program, dial 425-653-1150 and find out just how affordable it can be to have a show on 1150 AM. That's 425-653-1150. Alternative Talk, we have an opportunity waiting just for you.
Roxanne Watson is on a mission to have more people sign up as organ, eye, and tissue donors. What drives her? Roxanne received a heart transplant made possible by an organ donor.
I decided that day to devote myself to signing up the most people in the United States. That's my goal.
Now she's a powerful force for good. What could you make possible as an organ, eye, and tissue donor? Leave behind the gift of life. Go to organdonor.gov. U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Health Resources and Services Administration.
Hi, guys. Sue here with Clarity with Sue, claritywithsue.com. 15 years in radio, solid reputation, and conscious collaboration mindset. I am looking for an aligned sponsorship and partnership. This is conscious collaboration within the mind, body, spirit, organics, and fitness arena. Let's talk about spreading your message and your product to the masses. Email me at sue@claritywithsue.com. That's sue@claritywithsue.com.
No other station delivers this much variety. Alternative Talk 1150.
Sue here. We've got Doug Dane with us. We are talking about identity, more importantly, mistaken identity and having that awareness practice. And if you're hearing me going, mistaken identity, are we talking about a TV show? Well, yeah, it could be your own old movie, right? Your old movie, which is the drunk monkey inside. What did you call it?
Your cellmate,
the drunk monkey, the bad roommate, the cellmate inside. Doug, hold up your book for the YouTubers. I want everybody to see it. Yay, mistaken identity. For those in radio world, mistaken identity, you can get in Amazon. Just go to Amazon and type in mistaken identity. You can also get a hold of Doug at DougDane.com if you want to get more information about him. Let's go more into this conversation. We've covered quite a bit, and it's been a good, juicy, loving conversation about the pros, the cons. I call it the contrast. You know, it's my language. It's a conversation I have with myself. It's just a contrast. It's right. Just to show me that, yeah, I do want it, or no, I don't want it. I'm not going to have any kind of emotional charge because I don't want to bring in that resentment and the cortisol and keep my body addicted to all of that. Right. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the tips and tools, the real life tools that have helped you break your old identity to start stepping into your brilliance.
Yeah. I guess the book opens, the first chapter. In fact, I wanted to write a whole book on judgment. The first chapter is called Stop Judging. And so I think that's a great,
what about judging and taking it personally?
Yeah. Well, both. And there's a chapter on that too. The not taking things personally, actually, let me start with that, because when I went public, or when I walked into my counselor's office, we started to uncover that story, she said to me, she said, Doug, I'll work with you, but under one condition. I said, what's that? She said, well, you have to read this book. We're going to work through this book. And she handed me a book, and you would know it's called The Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz. And she said, if you want to work with me, we're going to work from this book. I said, okay. She'd go get the book. And so I went and bought the book. I came back a week later. She said, what did you think? I said, that's the dumbest thing I've ever read. And she said, go read it again.
I'm right, aren't you?
Yeah, she said, go read it again. So I read it again. I come back. She goes, well, what did you think? I said, it's really weird. She goes, read it again. Because I just was not comfortable with spirituality. And he was coming from his own, you know, this ancient Mexican Toltec culture. But then it hit me, the third read, it hit me. And of course, what I was doing, I was taking so many things personally. And one of the agreements, the four agreements, was don't take anything personally. And the breakthrough came for me when I realized that the abuse and the trauma from my parents and the pedophiles, it wasn't about me. It wasn't because of me. It just simply happened to me. And so I just stopped taking the abuse and how I was treated as a kid personally, because it had nothing to do with me at all. I thought to myself, the lucky thing for me was I was adopted. And the reason I see that as being lucky is because I have perspective or different attitude. I was able to form the attitude that, all right, wait a minute, that could have been another little boy that landed there, but I landed there. And I could have landed in a totally different family, which means I'd be a different person with a different story. And so that I was able to easily just go, you know what? I'm letting that go. I do not take it personally. But the judging part was something that as I mentioned earlier, is that we learned to do. And I could have grown up in a beautiful, healthy family, wonderful parents, you know, financially, well, whatever. It could have been a great situation. I'd still be judging myself. I don't care where you come from. Mm-mm. You are judging yourself to some degree or another. So the first step, it's very hard to stop judging yourself. And I found a very easy way to stop it. And the way to do it is you just practice stop judging other people until that becomes a habit. And then because that's the habit, it's very, you don't really judge yourself. And so rather than always thinking about myself and what's wrong with myself and analyzing what was going through my mind all the time, I just started to turn my thinking outward. One of my mentors said, Doug, he says, stop thinking about yourself so much. And if you do that, you won't find anything wrong with yourself. Turn all your energy to looking for good in other people and just help them feel better about themselves. And that made a lot of sense. I go, that just was based on love. I go, that feels right. So I started practicing that. And so I'm known as a very heartfelt person. I put a lot of energy into helping other people. And because I was focused on helping you and others, I wasn't paying attention to myself. So I didn't really think much about myself. And then when people judge me, now I'm free because I don't really care what anybody thinks about me because I'm so focused on helping other people.
And that now was, you know how you're showing up. Now you've got a whole, you've created new neural pathways. You've created a new energy. You've created new confidence, new love. It's beautiful, right?
Yeah.
And it's listen, a selfless act. Yeah.
You don't get anxious. You don't get depressed. You don't get nervous. You don't worry about the future. You don't feel guilty about the past if your attention energy is focused on helping somebody else. And it's just, so it's really simple. I've had so many people, we did an observational trial, Sue, with the book. We had about 140 people read the book before it came out and they read it. The book is designed as it's a process, not a book you read. It's a book you go through. I designed it where it's directive, instructive, prescriptive. And so you read the book for, say, a week. It's not a long book. And then you just go through one chapter at a time because each chapter has a little bit of my story and then a key principle and then an action step for you to really make a move. So we had these people going through it. And chapter one, we had all these people message, go, oh, my gosh, this whole judging thing. Like, I feel free already. I mean, just that action step alone could probably release you from a lot of junk. So that was a big one for sure.
All right, audience, recap here. Release the judgment. Don't take it personally. And, you know, doing good for others. And I want to put a little pin in that if we could, Doug, because when you're exhausted, when you're in trauma, there's got to be an aspect, and I know this, and I'm speaking from personal experience. Mm-hmm. I know I had to flip my script. I had to just do it, Sue. You're going to feel so much better. Mm-hmm. And I do that. It's habituation for me. It's like, nope, I immediately go to be of service, mm-hmm. to be of service in helping other people because it's the right thing to do. And it makes me feel good. Not because I'm getting anything out of it from them. Right. I'm not getting it's truly that reward for myself, right? And not taking it personally, not going so in my head that I'm going to spin out with my drunk monkey or my bad roommate, right?
Well, it's there's certain, I talk about this in the book too, and I didn't know this. I learned it in the last few years. There are natural laws of the universe and there's rules that govern how our mind works. I did not know that my mind actually directs my brain and nervous system. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
When I found that out and I read something that I believed it was true, I thought, all right, my thinking's not working really well and my nervous system is all screwed up because I don't feel really good. So maybe I should learn how my mind works. And it was proven back in the early 50s, post-war, that our mind, it's like a machine. We're not a machine, but we operate like a machine, and we're the operator of the machine. So I can control and direct my thinking through my mind. So there's certain rules. This notion of treating people well, there's laws of nature. One law of nature is called impression of increase. So if you use the law of increase to just provide, increase is just love, right? It's a natural law of the universe just for us to love and put love out. And that's what that all that is. When you stop judging other people, you're just looking for the good. Well, that's a natural way to operate because it's a natural law. Like if I take this pen and I let it go, it doesn't fall up, it falls down. That's the law of gravity. And so there's just some basic laws that we need to follow. We're not following the rules properly. And that's why we feel the way that we feel.
Based on a false identity, right? Based on the traumas, based on stuff that we were programmed to have. Again, that's going back to your book, right?
Yeah. Well, and just something you said, I want to just bring in the book, I tell a story of a 14-year-old boy that contacted. Well, he saw the article that was in the newspaper when I went public, that's in the book. And his mom had seen it. And the reporter that was reporting a story that he was involved in, so he was sexually abused by one of the same men I was. So I'm now 40 and he's 14. Okay. So 26 years later, repeat offender. And this mom says, "Will you speak to my son?" And I meet him and I feel like I'm meeting my 14-year-old self, you know, sweaty palms, head down, you know, just really shy and anxious. And I talked to him. And this little guy, he wanted to go public like I did. Of course, you're not allowed to because the system is set up to protect his identity and protect the victim. And it brought me back to when I was 15, I was sitting in the courthouse waiting to be called to testify against these pedophiles, my abuser. And I remember how I felt. And in talking to him, it really hit me. And this really helped me with my own healing is that his victim mentality was being perpetuated by how the system responded to what had happened to him. In other words, if I wasn't told so much I was a victim, and if I wasn't treated a certain way, if I was treated differently towards what had happened to me, I wouldn't have perceived it to be as bad as it was. Because the truth is, it wasn't that bad. I mean, physically, the outcome was bad because of my perception towards what had happened to me was bad. If the perception's different, then my thinking on it would be different. So it took me a long time to change my attitude. In the book, I talk about where I hired a PI to find the main man, my main abuser. His name's Randy. Because I just wanted to find him and I wanted to hug him. I just wanted to find, what's your story? Like, why, what happened to you that caused you to do what you did to me? And when I hear stories of child abuse, my mind also goes to the abuser.
Yeah.
I could have become an abuser. I could have been that Randy, you know? And I think we have to change the response to the victim. I mean, there is going to be obviously reactions, both emotional, psychological, but it's how we treat that in the mind of the person that has gone through it. That's the same problem with our mental health system. We're our approach to our mental well-being is only perpetuating a worsened mental state.
And we're focused on the trauma. We're not focused on the not the outcome. What's the word I'm looking for?
We're covering up the symptoms is all we're doing.
Yeah. There's a word, but go ahead. Yeah.
Anyway, I think that, here's what
solution. There it is. We need to focus on a solution, not bombarding them with, they did wrong to you, you
that's
know,
right.
not perpetuating the drama and the trauma and what they did to you. Right. It's a solution oriented love, compassion, forgiveness.
Yeah. And you mentioned forgiveness a lot. And in your intro, true forgiveness, and I didn't know this, but I agree with it. True forgiveness is actually forgetting. That's what forgiveness is. It's forgetting. People go, you can't just forget. I go, actually, yes, you can. You can choose. You have a memory. Your memory stores these experiences. And in your subconscious, you have, you know, things that are stored as well. But we have to practice operating this machine properly. And one thing to operate your mind properly is you do not look backwards on the past. You don't look backwards. There's no reason to.
It doesn't serve you.
There's nothing back there that you need to go forward. If there is, your memory and your subconscious will bring it up for you as you go forward. But we've been taught to live in the past. It's not natural It's just something we've been taught to do, or we learn to do. But
that conversation that mom or dad said, well, remember that last time what happened?
Yeah. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. And so what a lot of people don't, one of my mentors, he was so good at making it so simple. You know, his name is Bob Proctor. Bob Proctor is his name. He's in the book.
Yep.
And he said, because I was talking one day, I woke up one morning and I was dealing with a health issue and a bunch of other things. I go, it was like 4:30 in the morning, Doug. I go, Bob, I'm just so anxious, blah, 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 blah. He goes, Doug, anxiety is simply fear of the future. I just sat there. And then I went on and on and on. And I got, I'm so frustrated. Then he goes, Doug, frustration simply means you're not meeting your expectations. He goes, that's it. And he was right. And so when I discovered that the mind, this machine, you put tension on it by looking backwards with guilt or resentment, and you put tension on it if you're worried about the future, which you can't control. Anxiety, if anybody's suffering with anxiety, all they're worried about is the future. Tomorrow, next week, next month, that's all they're worried about. And if they're frustrated, it's because their expectations weren't met. So if you're frustrated with your past, well, you're going to have to change your perception on it to let it go so you're not frustrated. So it could be that simple for you. And I wasn't willing to accept that.
And you know, there's lots of the audience members are so triggered right now because they're thinking, are you kidding me?
Yes. Yes.
Really? I know. Yeah. I can feel it. I just know it. Because I've been there too. You talked about it too.
Yeah. If I heard this conversation 8 years ago, I would have flipped the switch right away. I said, this lady is out to lunch. This guy, he doesn't know what the heck he's talking about.
And this is what I want though. I want that squeaky wheel. I want that trigger, because if there's that squeaky wheel, that trigger, something is resonating. Something needs to be dealt with.
Well, somebody said something to me, Doug, it's a real bugger. It's very convenient being a victim. You can get away with a lot. And he was talking to me because I was. He said, but the problem is if you're a victim, you also become a villain sometimes. And if you feel like a victim, then you think there's somebody else's villain and you treat them that way. But what you also do is you treat yourself as a victim. You become the villain and the victim. And around and around and around you go. And I just say, it took me till I was, you know, I'm 59 now. It took me till I was 57 where I finally just accepted, go, all right, my way's not working. This could be this simple. And as soon as I accepted it could be simple, and that what everybody was telling me, and the evidence was there, but I kept saying, you don't understand because you didn't go through what I went through.
Yes, and, exactly.
You just got to look in the mirror and go, look, do you feel good most of the time? Are you relatively healthy most of the time? You know, are you generally happy? If not, then you're just locked in to this mistaken identity and a set of mistaken beliefs and values and bias and prejudices. And that's what you're operating from. And that's why you don't feel good. If you want to go through life suffering and struggling, I hold no judgment towards people that do that.
Right.
Unless they treat other people poorly or me poorly because of it. Yeah, that's not okay.
Yeah.
But if you want to suffer through life, you can, that's fine, but you don't have to. It's a choice.
Right there. You don't have to. Big fat permission slip.
Yes.
Big fat permission slip. Yeah. We get into that, Doug. We were talking about this whole perpetuation, this whole habituation. And then you have the cortisol releases that charges your body that thinks, oh, I'm still doing the right thing because I'm still getting the juice from it. And then when you stop doing it and you don't get the cortisol or the juice from it, you're like, ooh, I feel different.
Mm-hmm.
Good. You should feel different. That's exactly what you want. So in that difference, when you're crossing the bridge, you know, of the indifference, the fear, the resentments, the crossing the bridge, you know, you're taking a look at it. You have something to say. Go ahead, Doug.
One quick thing, if I may. Yes. Somebody asked me I was doing a live meeting with somebody. He said, growth is painful. And I go, no, it's not. And she goes, yes, it is. Like, this is really painful. I said, no, you just don't like the pain. I said, you have no problem going to the gym for the first time and you leave the gym the next day and your muscles are sore. You love it. You love being sore because you're growing, right? And you're even sore the second day after, and then you go back. Like you love the growth. When I was little, I would wake up in the middle of the night yelling and screaming. The back of my legs were so sore. Mommy, mommy, what's wrong? Oh, honey, those are growing pains. Well, we have growing pains to do here too, but we don't like feeling anxious. We don't like feeling depressed. We don't like feeling the feeling that comes with the growth and the change. But like you said, we have to have this awareness, and we can't be judgmental. We just go, ah, and just think, you know, you went to the gym yesterday and your muscles are sore, your mental muscles are sore. It's okay to have this pain. It is temporary. And if you just let your muscles grow or let your heart grow, let your mind change, it won't take very long and it will be very painful. But we don't like not feeling good. And our society said, you should feel good all the time.
Well, that's, and if you don't, true. Take this pill.
Yes.
No.
Yeah. No.
This is not a big pill mentality radio show. You do not need a pill. Well,
it's called
your
the
doctors
law,
and all that stuff. Yeah.
it's called the law of rhythm. Like I said, there's laws of nature. It's called the law of rhythm. You're going to be up and you're going to be down. You know, when the sun comes out, I'm really happy. When the sun goes down, I don't get depressed. It comes up and it goes down. It just, that's life, up and down. That's just, it's just whether you go up.
Right. It's a contrast. It's just witnessing, not taking it personally, then not resenting, right? All of that stuff.
Life is a river. You just go with the flow.
Go with the flow.
Yeah.
Go with the flow. Man, I would have just slap somebody upside the head if somebody said that to me in the midst of it. Just go with the flow, girl.
Yeah.
And I would have been just birdie here, birdie there. I would have been bye. Yeah. Yeah. Right? Because it's that trigger mechanism. It's like, no, I'm very, very comfortable in my victimhood. Yeah. Right? Yeah.
And I think that should be a sign for you right there. I like pushing people's buttons because I'm helping you.
Yes, that's the sign. That is it. That is it right there. Yeah.
You might not like me, but you'll thank me one day.
Yeah. You just don't like the message.
That's right.
Yeah. All right. Tell them about your book. We got about 3 more minutes.
Well, it's called Mistaken Identity. It's a guide to letting go of past that's holding you back. I didn't really set out to write a book. I never wanted to write a book, but when I went public with the story and started talking, people were coming to me and go, how did you go from this terrible traumatic background to succeeding and then letting it all go and going public, all the things I did. And you would come to me and I couldn't tell you what to do. I mean, I could tell you what I did, but I couldn't transfer it to you in a duplicatable way. And I just went out sort of helping people. Yeah, I created a process, a system in the book. And I just laid down what I did to make this really simple and let it all go very quickly. So the book takes you through step by step over 30 chapters, 30 stories, 30 principles and 30 action steps. Each chapter is only about 5 minutes long. It's very short. I'm very direct. I don't screw around.
I got
no time to waste. Life is short.
No. And when you're in trauma state, and I say this all the time, I don't need a Rubik's cube to figure out. I can't even barely put my pants on, let alone, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And don't give me another 3-day challenge. I don't need another challenge. I'm working in, you know, the trauma brain's like, don't even say the word challenge. Give me a process. Give me a solution. Yeah.
I didn't want to write a book until I could put this together in a system that I could hand this to you and go do this, Sue, over the next 30 days. I guarantee you'll see a result. This is not a book you read. This is not a book that you buy to fix yourself. You take the book and let the book work on you. That's the way it's designed.
And to do for you. Doug Dane, DougDane.com. What a blessing to have you on here. Thank you, Doug, for stepping in the rink and doing the work and working through the forgiveness and working through the love and shining a light on all of this and being that example to everybody else. So thank you very much.
Well, thank you.
Really enjoyed our
wonderful show. Thank you so much.
Thank you. All right. To the audience, I love you guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you missed the live show, of course, go to the podcast world. You can go to my website and get the newsletter called Love Bumps, all the podcast world, Spotify, iTunes, all of that good juicy stuff. And until next time, each of you are a gift. Get out there and share yourself with the world.
A new day, the game has changed, the pieces in place, and now we're moving. We shine in this new light and live how we want. Yeah, fresh start, light that spark, and we take off. Yeah, we'll be flying. We're here, a brand new gear to show what we've got.